happy Friday to you all. Welcome to the scoreboard. 844 Studio 4. That's 844-788-3464. If you're interested in calling in. You know, I was wrong. I was wrong yesterday. I have to admit it. I did not think we were going to see the Panthers have a first round pick. And it turns out right at the end of the draft, they decided to make a trade with the Buffalo Bills, who traded with the Chiefs for the 32nd pick. And then, well, they traded again with the Panthers. And I was sitting there watching the draft. And I go, you're telling me they traded into the first round? Now, they didn't give up much. Really, they didn't give up anything at all. All they did was give up a little bit of positioning in the draft. The amount of picks stayed the same, but where they're picking, that's what changed. So they move up to the first round to draft wide receiver Xavier Leggett. And I'm going to be honest, I like the move. If they were going to do a wide receiver with their first round pick, trading up was a good decision, in my opinion. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. We're going to save the draft for a little bit later, maybe a second or third segment of the show. Not sure yet, but we will talk NFL draft because it was a very good night for the NFL. Also, the Carolina Hurricanes. Man, do they look good. They were outplayed last night. Yeah, that doesn't happen often to Carolina, but even in getting outplayed, they were able to get the win. And Freddie Anderson, man, oh man. Oh man. I'm telling you right now, if he plays like that, we're going to have a good luck charm here in North Carolina because Carolina was able to steal that win. That one save Anderson had where he was laying down with his glove up in the air and just snagged it. Yeah, that was incredible. There's no other word to describe it. It was a great save. And it showed kind of what the Hurricanes thought they were going to get in Anderson to begin with. Now, he's not a superstar per se, but he is a very solid goalie, and last night was flashes of what he could be. So we'll talk a little bit more of Carolina later on in the show. Also, this weekend we have NASCAR action from the Dover Speedway over in Dover, Delaware. The Xfinity Series and the ARCA Menards Series will be at that track as well. Action beginning tonight. We have some qualifying for ARCA and Xfinity, and then the ARCA race will be later on today. We'll go ahead and talk about that a little bit more as we get later on in the show. Actually, you know, that ARCA race, it's starting soon. It's a 5 o'clock start, so we may have some updates for you if I decide to pay attention to it. It's ARCA racing, though. You know, it's ARCA. Yeah, the stars are there, but the stars don't quite know how to drive just yet, and the product isn't the best. Even the truck series, we're seeing that, where, man, they are not quite ready. You have the young guns who are still trying to figure it out, and some of the veterans who are like, man, what are you doing? So we'll talk a little Dover, as well as the NBA playoffs as those move on. Oh, man. Remember what I talked about before the play-in games with the Lakers, and do they want to lose their first game of the play-in to have a chance to win the second game of the play-in and go in as an 8 seed? That way they could play the Oklahoma City Thunder rather than playing the Denver Nuggets, because the Lakers still have not beat the Nuggets. It's been over a year. It's almost 2 years since the Lakers beat Denver. Down 3-0 in that series now. There's also some news from around the world of sports. The NFL made some news as well as being just there for the draft. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But we're going to get right into high school sports now because it is the final week, final few days of the regular season for high school lacrosse. Yes, on Wednesday, the first round begins. If you think I'm lying, I'm not. We're already here. So April 29th, we will have the bracketing for lacrosse. That is Monday. And then May 1st, the first round for lacrosse begins. And I've been telling you, and I hope you finally listen to me, the local area, when it comes to lacrosse, has been very, very good. A lot of Charlotte area schools getting some love in not only the state rankings, but also the national rankings, which is wonderful to see. Charlotte Catholic, still the best team in the area, ranked number one in the state of North Carolina, 20-0 this year. They have not lost yet. Nationally, they're up there as well, ranked 16th. That's the Charlotte Catholic Cougars having a wonderful year. A little bit closer to us, Concord. Cannon High School, Cannon School, ranked second in the state. Huff High School in Cornelius, third. And Lake Norman, fourth on the North Carolina rankings. A lot of those schools are going to end up playing each other in the playoffs. Not everybody's going to be able to win a state championship. There's going to be some really good games that are played during these lacrosse playoffs. And if you're interested in it, I strongly advise that you pay attention. Maybe go out to a game or two, support the local high schools. I'm going to try to see what I can do about getting to one of these playoff games here in the spring. We'll see what we can find out. But lacrosse is where it's at. Baseball, I feel bad saying this, but we might have to wait till next year to see some positivity in the baseball world. Because not only has it been bad recently, but it was bad to start the year. There was only two schools at the very beginning of the year that I thought were going to have a chance at some decent postseason action. That being Lake Norman, even though they started the year a little bit weird, they did go on that 9-game winning streak. And then South Iredell High School, who they are still doing decent. They have their final game of the season today, but I'm not sure if it's going to be enough to make the playoffs. We'll wait and see what the brackets look like when they come out. Now, the bracketing for baseball is not next week. It's actually going to be on the 6th of May. So, which actually, I'm pretty sure that's Monday. And then the first round is on the 7th. Double check that. The 6th, not next week, the week after, we will have the brackets for high school baseball. The 7th is when playoffs begin. I'm hoping we see some schools in the area on those baseball brackets, but like I said, it's been rough sledding this year. Here are the records in the area as we stand as of today before we have our Friday games. Lake Norman is 11-12. Mooresville baseball is 6-17. We have Statesville still winless on the year. North Iredell 6-11. West Iredell 6-11 as well. And then that South Iredell team, like I was saying, maybe the only team who has a decent chance at postseason baseball this year. They are 12-9 with a winning record. So congratulations, South Iredell. You're one of the few schools in the area that have a winning record. That's tough. I told you, it's not the year for baseball. We'll talk a little bit more high school on the other side of this break. Then we'll start talking some of these news stories. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We're back after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment. From 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg continues now on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Number 2, 844-788-3464. That's the phone number. Just a reminder for you, if you want to call in, maybe you want to chat about that NFL draft. We're going to get into it. Just wait. Just wait. We have a little bit more high school to talk about. So I just want you to know, that if we're talking about the playoffs in a few weeks, and we will be because, like I said, next week we have the first round for lacrosse, and then the week after that we have baseball plus women's soccer coming up. Lacrosse is going to be where the action's at. In the top 25, here are some of the schools that are within our listening area here at WSIC who are having good seasons. They're ranked in the state within the top 25. Charlotte Catholic, Cannon, Huff, Lake Norman. We already talked about those. Then you have Myers Park, Audrey Kell, Charlotte Country Day, Community School at Davidson, Lake Norman Charter, all of these schools in the top 25 in the state. And they're all pretty close. Christ the King sits at 25th. In the top 50, we have a few more. Mooresville High School making their way into the rankings there. Pine Lake Prep sitting at 48. South Mech. So we have schools in the area who are going to be not only in the playoffs, but trying to make deep runs in lacrosse this year. I'm telling you, that is going to be the place to look. You're going to want to keep an eye on lacrosse because we could have some really local schools winning a lot of championships, and that would be absolutely awesome. We're going to move on from the high school scene because it is Friday and we do have a lot of things to talk about when it comes to the world of sports. I want to get into the news that's coming out today. Post-draft round one, Caleb Williams broke a record last night. The number one overall pick for the Chicago Bears, it was not a question. Once they decided that they weren't trading the pick like they did for the Panthers last year, it was pretty obvious they were going to take Caleb Williams out of USC, Southern California, by the way. USC, University, Southern California. South Carolina, that's the University of South Carolina. Don't get it mixed up. So Caleb Williams out of USC broke a record when his merchandise on Fanatics sold out in hours. Hours. This is after not even 2 weeks ago. Caitlin Clark set the record on Fanatics when her jerseys broke the record when her jersey sold out in a matter of hours. That is absolutely incredible. I don't know if this is going to be something that we see year after year. I'm not surprised that Caitlin Clark had broke the record, but Caleb Williams, yeah, he's a really good recruit, but are you going to hang your hat on him just yet? I'm not. I like some of the quarterbacks in the draft, but for some reason, I'm just iffy about Caleb Williams. And I think it has to do with his style of play. He's not going to be able to run around in the backfield the way he did in college in the NFL. And we saw that with other quarterbacks who were very, very popular for running around. Now, there's your exceptions. Lamar Jackson, that's an exception. Cam Newton, that's an exception because of how big that man was. You're not going to have another. Anthony Richardson, who got hurt in his first year in Indianapolis, that's the closest you'll find to another Cam Newton. But Caleb Williams, not his talent level, and I want to make this completely clear, not his talent level, but just the way he plays and the way he scrambles around back there, sometimes it does make me nervous, and that's all I'll say about it. Bryce Young is different. He's a little different. Now, some other things that are coming out of the draft. The NFL today has adjusted its rule to allow players the options of using guardian caps in regular season games to enhance their protection against head injuries. That is the padded protection that goes on helmets that was introduced a couple of years ago and made mandatory for training camp. Now it's optional for regular season games. And I'll be honest, people need to wear them. I don't know if you're going to see your running backs wearing them, maybe your wide receivers, defensive backs, but if you're an offensive lineman, yeah, you might want to wear one of those. It'll probably help. You're hitting your head every play if you're a lineman. Every single play. quarterbacks, I'm going to go out on a limb and say some of the quarterbacks are going to wear them too. Look, it's not affecting your vision. The helmet's already got the vision that it has. It's not, it doesn't weigh much. You barely notice it. It's going to get more popular. And if the NFL can find a way to imprint the team logos onto those, it's going to get even better. So expect to see some of those this year in the NFL. I'm not saying that it's definitely going to happen where you're going to see a ton of them. I'm just saying be prepared. It might look a little different out there when you see people with caps on their helmet and there's little pads on them. Well, they're trying to protect their head. I don't blame them. I do not blame them. Also, the topic of an 18-game schedule was discussed by NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell with Pat McAfee on the Pat McAfee Show. He said, here's the quote. "I think we're good at 17 games now, but listen, we're looking at how we continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. And I don't think these guys like it either. The reality is I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season game any day. That's just picking quality. If we go to 18-2, that's not an unreasonable thing. 18-2 being 18 regular season games, only 2 preseason games. I'll tell you who's not going to like that, and that would be the coaches and the players. Because the preseason, well, that's when you start working yourself up to playing regular season football. You know, you don't want to do it during practice all that much, because if you hurt your own players in practice, that's just brutal. Those are the worst injuries. We saw it when they went down to 3. The first couple of weeks of the season, offense was down and scoring was down, and then it picks up as the year goes on. Now you're thinking about taking another gearing up game away, and we can call it preseason, you can call it pre-whatever. It's a gearing up for the season game. It's also the way that coaches round out their roster and say, yes, this guy over this guy, because you have to cut your team down to 53 players, that is. And now you're going to take another chance for these players who are on the cusp to work their way into a playing job. I get it. More games, more money. But are we still going to have one bye week? I've heard this discussed before in relation to an 18-game regular season. Couple of things, and it's very interesting, and I'm not saying any of this is going to happen, but this is what I've heard is being discussed. The possibility of 2 bye weeks, that could be something. The possibility of a limit on the amount of games you could play. Imagine they limited quarterback games to 17, and you had to sit one game. The value of the backup quarterback would skyrocket exponentially. And this, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's something that I have heard before, and it's interesting. You know, you talk about changes that the NFL may or may not make, things that they do for one season to test it out, like the kickoff rule, like challenging for a pass interference. They like to experiment a lot, and maybe during the 17-game schedule, they throw a little wrinkle in, like, hey, no player can play more than 16 regular season games. It's just a possibility. I mean, none of this is set in stone. And when you see the comments like that, where the NFL is mulling the idea of an 18-game schedule, it means it's coming. They're getting you prepared for it. It's like soft launching something. They're saying, hey, how would you guys feel about a 18-game schedule? 19 weeks. Maybe 20 weeks. He also said that he would like to get the Super Bowl on a weekend where it's a 3-day weekend. I just think that the day after the Super Bowl should be a holiday anyway. You just take Monday off, stay up, watch the Super Bowl, or put it on a Saturday, you know, throw it on Saturday or Friday night. That'd be cool. No, it's got to be Super Bowl Sunday, then you lose that. Super Bowl Saturday doesn't have the same ring. It doesn't. So as far as the NFL draft goes, we have round number two tonight, the Panthers, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more on the other side of the break. The Panthers getting rid of their second round pick, the number one pick in the second round, to move up to the final pick in the first round. I'll let you know why I think that was actually a really good move in the long run. Maybe for the first time ever, the Panthers did something right under the tutelage of David Tepper. And he made some headlines as well, going into a restaurant. It was pretty funny. Hang with us. We'll be back really soon. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We'll be back right after this.
Sports director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Now more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Segment three. We're halfway done on this Friday, but we got the NFL draft coming up. Yes, that's right. The NFL draft. Last night, there was a surprise. So the Buffalo Bills were supposed to pick 28th. They traded back to pick number 32. They traded that pick with Kansas City, the team who won the Super Bowl. Well, after that, the Bills were on the clock again to end the night, and all of a sudden there was, well, if you were watching the coverage on ESPN, the announcers were talking about something else. The trade happens, and it seemed like they were all taken by surprise that the Panthers were on the clock. Well, the Panthers get on the clock, and they take wide receiver out of South Carolina, Xavier Leggett. I like the pick. Now, you might be wondering, could they have gotten him the first pick of the second round? Maybe. The thought is that Buffalo does want a wide receiver, and if you want to trade up to get your guy, you're going to do that. So with a chance that the Bills were going to take Leggett, the Panthers move up just a little bit. One pick, that is, to draft him. And this is slightly significant. Getting a player with the last pick of the first round versus getting a player with the first pick of the second round. The reason being contracts. In the NFL, if you are drafted, you have a four-year contract. That's for the first few rounds. It changes as you get later in the draft. If you're drafted in round one, you have a chance to have your contract renewed for a fifth year. You might have heard of it. It's called a fifth-year option. So if you're pick number 32 in round one, you have a chance to have a fifth year on your contract. If you're pick number one of round two, you do not have that chance because you are not eligible for that fifth year option, which is why every now and then you see a team trade into the first round to go get somebody that they want to make sure they can control them for 5 years rather than four. And it's not unreasonable. We've seen this happen before. I'm pretty sure Lamar Jackson is one of those players who was picked right at the end of the first round. They moved up to get him, and you know the rest is history. Now he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. But it's not unusual where you see a player, team trade for a player in the final pick of the first round. And it has to do with that fifth year option. So the Panthers go get their guy, Xavier Leggett, out of South Carolina. Round number two is tonight, and starting things off will be the Buffalo Bills as they traded with the Panthers for that 33rd overall pick. The Panthers will have to wait until pick number seven of round number two. Now, it's not their pick that they have this time in round two. They actually have a different team's pick. If you've been paying attention, you'll know who that is. That pick being the Titans pick. So the Panthers get the number 7 pick in the draft here in round number 2. And we'll see what happens. I think they're going to target a skill position. I don't think that they're going to go lineman just because they went offensive line heavy in free agency, which is good and bad. But their secondary has been bad. Their wide receiver core has been bad, which is why they went up and got a wide receiver with their first pick. Maybe a second round corner. Kool-Aid McKinstry would be nice. That'd be awesome to have someone named Kool-Aid here in North Carolina. Yes, that's his name. So yeah, we'll see. The draft starting later on tonight. 7 o'clock, the coverage will begin. And we'll have a few rounds. Now, as we get to rounds 3, 4, and 7, the Panthers will be picking pretty high up. They actually have the first pick of rounds 3 and 4, that is their own pick from having the worst record in the NFL. Some surprises in the draft. The first 6 or 7 or so picks went about how I thought it would. The real surprise was the Falcons at pick number 8. They just signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year deal worth a lot of money. And they draft Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't think it's a good pick. Not because I don't think he's bad. I think he's a pretty decent player. But at age 23, with a quarterback already in front of you, how long are you going to sit? Because I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. I don't think they signed Kirk Cousins to have him sit making $140 million over 4 years or whatever his contract is. So Michael Penix isn't going to be playing for year one. Maybe he won't play in year two. He'll be 25 by then. You see where I'm getting at? It's not the best idea in the world to draft somebody who's a little bit older and then have them sit. But that's just my opinion. That is where the first surprise of the night was. Then we had a trade up, and it wasn't surprising really, but expected. The Vikings trade up to 10 to select J.J. McCarthy. And then another surprise, Bo Nix drafted by the Broncos at pick number 12. The Broncos don't have a quarterback. They needed a quarterback, and seems like they have found their guy, Bo Nix out of Oregon there. And as for the rest of the draft, it wasn't all that surprising. We had a lot of wide receivers go in the draft in round one, and I told you, you're going to see a lot of wide receivers getting picked this year. There's so much good talent out there. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a bad wide receiver. Just being honest. So I want to hear from you, 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Are you going to be paying attention to round two of the NFL draft? I will be. I'll be a little bit more invested in what's going on with the NHL playoffs. Now, last night we had a great game for the Hurricanes as they were able to take a win away, in my opinion. They stole a win from the Islanders, winning that game 3-2. Reason being, the Islanders kind of controlled play. They had more shots. They had more attack time. This is a far cry from what happened in game number 2. But regardless of the change in play, the result stayed the same with the Hurricanes taking a win away from the Islanders. And the reason I say this was a stolen win is because Freddie Anderson, the goaltender, played out of his mind. He was wonderful last night. And I know you heard me moaning all year about, Carolina needs a goaltender. He had a great game. I'm not going to take that away from him. Congratulations. You're going to need games like that from your goaltender if you're going to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're not going to win every game just because you can score 6 goals a game. I just want to know, can he do it consistently? He hasn't played for a while. It's been a while since he's been out on the ice after missing most of the year. Now, he got some conditioning at the end of the regular season, and this is the first time we really saw Freddie Anderson take control of a game since then. I just want to know if he can continue it, because it's great to see. It shows that there is promise there. But it is a long playoff. You got to win 16 games to win the Stanley Cup. Might not sound like a lot, but it is a lot, and a lot can happen in those series. We have one more segment here on the scoreboard. We're going to talk a little more NHL. We'll get into the NBA playoffs as well as some NASCAR in the final segment. Busy last segment of the show and still accepting your phone calls if there's something you'd like to chat about. 844-STUDIO-4, that's 844-788-3464. You're listening to The Scoreboard. One more segment on this Friday. We're back after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment. From 105.9, 100.7, WSIC. Talk sports with Joe Berg. Call 844-STUDIO-4. It's The Scoreboard on 105.9, 100.7, WSIC.
Back. It is the final segment here on this Friday. Man, what a weekend we have coming up in the world of sports. NFL draft going on later tonight. Playoff hockey going on. Playoff basketball. The end of the season for high school sports. Baseball in full swing. What more could you want, really? It's one of the best times of the year for sports. The other one you might be able to say is the fall time when football begins, but the spring has its moments as well. On the other side of that break, we were talking about what's going on in the NHL with the Carolina Hurricanes having an absolutely wonderful game against the Islanders. They take a 3-0 series lead, and it's not the only 3-0 series lead. There were a few series this year in the NHL where you look at it and you go, does the other team really have a chance? The Islanders and the Capitals were those two teams, as both of them snuck in the playoffs with a negative on their goal differential. Capitals, one of the lowest goal differentials of all time. But then you have a surprise. Last night, Florida. The Florida Panthers. No, not the Carolina Panthers. This is a hockey team. The Florida Panthers beat the Tampa Bay Lightning to go up 3-0 in their series. And that one's a little bit surprising. Now, the downcline of the Lightning, it was going to happen eventually. You know, they had that dominant dynasty where they won a couple of cups in a row. They went to more than two. They went to three straight, actually. They lost that first one, and then They won two in a row. They went to two in a row. And it was after they got upset in the first round by the Columbus Blue Jackets after having one of the best regular seasons. Anyway, that series is 3-0. Tampa Bay, not the juggernaut that they used to be. Carolina, they are up 3-0. The New York Rangers have a chance to go up 3-0 tonight on the Washington Capitals as that game is in Washington. And then you have a surprise in the West. The Vegas Golden Knights, as a wild card, have a 2-0 series lead over the second-best team in the NHL this year. Yes, the second-best team in the NHL this year. That being the Dallas Stars, who were just 1 point behind the New York Rangers in the standings. And that's very interesting to me. It's not like we expected this. This is something that, well, Vegas, they got Mark Stone back, yeah, but they weren't great during the regular season. Dallas has a deep team. They are a great team. But yet Dallas finds themselves in a 2-0 hole. Every other series in the West, Winnipeg, Colorado, Vancouver, Nashville, Edmonton, Kings, LA, 1-1. Tied up. So we'll look also at the NBA playoffs, and there is some competitive series out there as well. You know, you have a few where it's very one-sided. The Oklahoma City Thunder have a 3-0 series lead over the Pelicans. The Denver Nuggets, as I said to open the show, the Nuggets still just beating up on the Lakers. The Lakers unable to find a win, and apparently, according to them, they're getting really, really bad calls by the referees. I understand that to an extent, but also there's a lot of other game to play other than the end of game. Maybe do better at the beginning. Maybe do better right before halftime or middle of the third quarter. Do a little bit better, and then you don't have to worry about this at the end of the game. No, it's just me. You have a whole game to control this. And every other series has got a little bit of competitiveness towards it. The Clippers and the Mavericks are tied at one. The Celtics and the Heat are tied at one. Cleveland has a 2-1 series lead over the Magic. They got blown out in game three, did Cleveland. Lost by almost 40. That was a wild one. The Bucks and the Pacers are tied at one. The Knicks and the 76ers. New York has a 2-1 series lead in that one. So we got some competitive series in the NBA and a long way to go in these playoffs. Denver's going to be a hard team to beat in the West. They're probably my favorite to win it. I know they won it last year. I know. But you can't really bet against Jokic. He might be the best player in the NBA right now. Now, it changes every now and then. We've had Luka have magical runs. He put in 72 this year. 9 shy of tying what Kobe did, which 81 points, that's the most where we have video footage of it, video proof of it. So as we move through the NBA playoffs, here is the schedule for tonight. Right now, you have the Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Indiana Pacers. That game just started. It's in Indiana, and they're up to an early 14-8 lead. A little bit later at 8 o'clock, you'll have the Clippers taking on the Dallas Mavericks in Dallas. And then to end the night, 10:30, Minnesota Timberwolves take on the Phoenix Suns. Other than playoff basketball and hockey, we also have some motorsports going on. NASCAR, specifically, has a pretty good weekend ahead of them as they head to Dover, Delaware. The Worth 400 at 2 p.m. You can listen to that race right here on WSIC. The coverage will begin at 1 o'clock, presented by PRN. I'm a fan of Dover. I think it's a very fun racetrack to watch a race at. I've been there a couple of times. I enjoy it. I hope that we see good racing there. You know, the whole thing with this car and the inability to follow. The good thing is there's multiple lines at Dover. You can run high, you can run low, you can run the middle. So we'll see what happens. I think we're going to have a pretty good race. Kyle Larson, still your betting favorite this weekend. As his odds really haven't changed all that much. He is a plus 450 for the win this week. Behind him, Martin Truex Jr. with the second best odds. Let's see if we can hear from a driver before we head out for the weekend, because I got a little bit of sound that I played during the week from the drivers as we preview this weekend in Dover. Let's go ahead and pull in Martin Truex Jr., who has had a lot of success at Dover. Here's what he says he enjoys about the track.
you have to attack. You know, it's such a fine, delicate line there between, you know, attacking the racetrack and respecting the racetrack. And, you know, you're always, I feel like, white knuckle. You're always nervous. You're always on edge. It's so fast, so much load in the banking, and these cars don't really care for it very much. So you're just really feel like you're wrestling in a beast all day long, and it's a lot of fun to do that.
So we'll see what we see on Sunday. That race, like I said, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock here on WSIC is when the coverage begins. As of right now in NASCAR, Kyle Larson is your points leader. This is including a DNF. So he has a DNF and he is still leading the points. He's having a wonderful start to his season. Martin Truex Jr. second, and then you have a couple more Hendrick guys, Chase Elliott, William Byron. Hendrick would be a four-horse machine if it wasn't for the driver of that 48 car having a pretty rough start to the year. But even with that being said, he is still 10th in the standings right now. So a wonderful NASCAR season so far. We're finally into the good stuff. I'm telling you, this is the good part of the season. We go to Dover. We're done with the super speedways for a little bit. We got Dover, then Kansas, Darlington, the all-star race at North Wilkesboro, Charlotte. We go to WWT, Sonoma, some road course racing. So we got a good variety of tracks coming up here in the near future. Ending the show with this day in sports history, like we do. On this day, 1966, Red Auerbach retired as the head coach of the Celtics. 1983, the number one overall pick of the NFL draft, John Elway, picked by the Baltimore Colts. That was on this day. And let's see, can we squeeze one more in there? Yeah, absolutely we can. Just a few years ago, 2012, and a sad story that this one became over the years. On this day in 2012, Stanford quarterback Andrew Luck was drafted first overall by the Indianapolis Colts. What a career it would have been had it not been for the neglect of your offensive line. Plain and simple. Thanks for joining me this week, everyone. Have a great one. Watch some playoff hockey, basketball, maybe some NASCAR, high school athletics. There's a lot going on. I had a wonderful week talking to you guys. I'll be at the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals at the ZMAX Dragway this Sunday. If you see me, come by and say hi. I'd love to chat with you. I'll talk to you guys next week. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone. I'll see you later. Peace.
WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.